This morning, I've already told you that I'd like to preach a message about some things that we should consider. If you'll take your Bible and turn over to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 34, we'll read here in just a minute. Exodus chapter 34, verses 4 through 7 say this: "And he hewed two tablets of stone, likened unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord." Verse 6. "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and mercy, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, upon the third and fourth generation." That's my text to start my message this morning. And I want to start off by saying this. Why are you here? Why are you here today? Now, we probably have a lot of us have different answers. I'm here today because I'm the pastor of the church, right? I mean, y'all said, "Brother Dan, we want you to pastor the church. We want you to preach a message to us on Sunday morning." Now, that's not the only reason I'm here, but I'm here today to preach a message out of God's Word. Not all of us are here today to preach a message out of God's Word. Some of y'all might be here because you were invited to come by friends or family. Some of you might be here today because your mom and dad are here. And they said, "Get up, get dressed, you're going to church with me." It may not be your first choice. Your first choice might have been Nintendo. Might have been. I'm not saying it was. It might have been. Some of you are here because you want to enjoy yourself in fellowship with your fellow brothers and sisters, and you enjoy the fellowship of one another. Some of you might be here today because you have a need or a lack of understanding or a desire for truth. And you've come to the right place if you're here for truth. Because we have the book of truth right here. It's called a Holy Bible. God's Word. Another question. Why are you here on planet Earth? Why? How did he get here? What is our purpose for being here? What about the Bible? What about it? Are the things that we read and understand in the Scriptures, are they true? Why is there trouble in the world? Why do innocent children die? We have questions. Things that we like to consider in our mind of the purpose that we are here. What is this about? There's a lot of questions we could say. There's a lot of things we could bring up. And they're good, valid questions. I want to say this first of all. For all your questions, we have an answer. And it's found right here in your King James Bible. This is where your answers will be found. If you're going to find truth and find resolution to the questions of life and the things that trouble your soul, they're going to come from the Scriptures. Because there's the only way to have peace is to have that peace that cometh from God. I want to say this. There might be some of y'all here today who are seeking truth to set your soul free from bondage. You have no peace with God. You don't know peace of God. And you're here today to find that. And Exodus chapter 34, verses 4 through 7, and verse 6 and 7, the Bible says in the end of verse 6, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Verse 7 says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. Now, I can't answer all the questions I brought up to you today in this short amount of time that I have to preach today. I can't answer those. But I have chosen three things this morning I'd like for us to consider, and I would like to present you some scripture to think about and to consider for yourself. If you'll just turn over a few pages to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32. And Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 1 says, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Verse 3 says, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is He. We want truth. We just read over in Exodus. He says He's abundant in goodness and truth. And we're reading here now in the book of Deuteronomy, He's the God of truth, without iniquity. So if we're going to get truth and we're going to get answers to some of our questions and things that we ought to consider, it's got to come from God's Word. Not from some psychologist, not from some scientist, or someone who believes that we came from monkeys, or that this all came because of a lightning struck a mud puddle full of algae that turned a little piece of algae into a worm, and the worm squirmed around for long enough, and he grew a freckle, and the freckle turned into an arm, and he swam in circles until he got tired of swimming that way, grew another freckle, grew another arm, and then he started swimming the other way, crawled up on the side of the beach, and grew a tail, some feathers, and flew around, jumped in a tree, and flew from tree to tree, until he turned into a serpent, and then turned into a monkey, then we turned into all kinds of fowl, then we got the frog. They came out of the mire, they came up on land, they turned into cows, and then the cows got tired of these cows, they ran back into the water and turned into dolphins. That's not the answer. That's man's answer to remove God from his knowledge. Truth lies right here. First Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you.
I want to give you three things to consider that God has done for you.
With the help of the Lord this morning, that's what I'd like to do. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time to gather together, Lord, to read your word. Lord, I know I'm not anybody special. I'm not anybody that's any more than my brothers and sisters here before me. Or I'm a sinner saved by grace. Lord, you gave me this position. You gave me this message. For you helped me this morning. Deliver the words you've given me. And I'll be a faithful servant. Not to say more, not to say less, but exactly what you give me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The first thing I'd like to say is we need to consider our Creator. We need to consider our Creator. Turn over to Psalms 100. I want to give you verses that you can put your eyes on and you can read with your own eyes and you can consider in your own heart the truth and what it means to you. And the Holy Spirit then can move in your own mind and your own heart. Psalms 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter ye in His gates with thanksgiving, and unto His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. I want to say two things. Verse 3 says, Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Well, that just takes the entire book of evolution and the science of Darwinism and throws it right out the window. We cannot have man making himself by selective growth. If God created us. It says, He's the Lord God, He hath made us. So either the Bible's true, and every man is a liar. Or man is true, and the Bible's a lie. If the Bible's not true, then we're all here wasting our time this morning. We should be fishing somewhere. Golfing. We should be watching a race on TV or something besides wasting our time here singing songs about something that's not true. Praising and giving money. You gave money to the church. How dumb are you? Either it's true or it's not. And I prescribe you this morning, the Bible's true. That's why we are here. Verse 5 says, For the Lord, He is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let me tell you something. God's promised us that we'll have the truth to the end. I got a verse I want to give you, but it's going to be toward the end of the message. John chapter 14. Truth. We'll come back to that. First of all, I want to say that the Lord is God. He hath made us. We are His people. And His truth endureth to all generations. Let's turn over a few pages to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 45. Just some things we need to consider. We need to consider our Creator. Isaiah chapter 45. And verse 5 says this, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, thou hast not known me, that they may know Him from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Tell you what, some of our answers are getting our questions are getting answered. I love the Bible. Verse 8, drop down ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour out righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Verse 9, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say unto him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands? Verse 10, woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begottest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Verse 11, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and His Maker, ask me things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Verse 12, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I wanted to read that to you this morning to say this right here. There's no question about these things. Number one, the Lord is God. He said His name was the Rock, the Almighty, the Maker, the Creator. He's all those things and more. But He made us for Himself. We didn't make ourselves. He made us. And it was for His own good pleasure to do those things. So that answers a question. Where did we come from? Why are we here? What is the reason for us being here? God. God decided to make man for His own pleasure for Himself. Turn back just one page or two. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. The second thing we saw there was He said several times, there is no other God beside me. There is none else. I alone am God. He made those two things very clear. He is the Creator and He's the only God. Isaiah 43. Verse 10. Ye are my witness, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, say the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Verse 12, I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange gods among you. Therefore, ye are my witness, saith the Lord, that I am God. Verse 13, yea, before the day was, I am He, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Let me tell you something. Before the creation started, before God divided the light from the darkness,
before he removed the water to create the firmament of heaven, he says, I am.
We tell you what, he is God before and he will be God after,
no matter what you believe.
No matter what you think, no matter how much studying you do, how much education you give yourself, you cannot educate away the truth of God and His existence. He is God. One more reference here, Psalms. Let's go back to the book of Psalms, and book of Psalms in chapter 95. Psalms 95, we'll start in verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills, His also. Verse 5. The sea is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. I want to say, first of all, we need to consider our Creator. We are not our of our own selves. We are His and His creation. We are the sheep of His pasture. We do not own ourselves, but we are His. That's the first thing I think we need to consider. The second thing I think that we should consider and think about and ponder in our hearts, we ought to consider Jesus. Let's turn to the book of Matthew. We'll go from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the book of Matthew in chapter 1. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 1 in verse 18 says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. The first thing we need to consider about Jesus is his birth. We looked at our Creator, we looked at our Maker, and that we are not our own, and that there is an almighty power and someone that we are going to answer to. Second thing I want to look at is Jesus. Our Creator has now stepped out of heaven and now came to earth. And I want to tell you, we need to consider this man, Jesus. Matthew chapter 16, just a few pages over. Matthew chapter 16. And verse 21 says, From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Verse 23 says, "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it." Verse 26 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." We need to consider this. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, born of a virgin. Secondly, he came here for a purpose. And his purpose, what we just read, was to be... Verse 21 says, how he had to go suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes. Not only did he have to suffer, but he had to be killed. He had to die. And not only did he have to die, but he had to raise himself again from the dead. He told us himself his purpose. Verse 26 says, what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus Christ came to help you out of something you could never help yourself out of. A price you could never pay for your own sin. Turn over just a few pages to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 22 says this. Pilate saith unto him, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What do you know hath he done?" But they cry out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of this blood of this just person. See ye to it." Verse 25. Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and our children." Verse 26 says, "Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers and the governor took Jesus to the common hall and gathered unto him a whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!'" Verse 30. "And they spit upon him. And they took the reed, and they smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, and they took the robe off of him, and they put on his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear the cross. And when they come unto the place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull," verse 34, "they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, 'They parted my garments amongst them, and amongst my vesture did they cast lots.' And sitting down, they watched him and set up over his head his accusation written, 'This is Jesus, King of the Jews.'" Verse 38. "Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their head and saying, 'Thou that destroyest the temple and build it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come from the cross.' Likewise also the chief priests mocking him and the scribes and elders." Verse 42. "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, Let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he saith, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land to the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, la sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some then that stood when he heard that, this man called for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come and save him. Verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. I want to say this right here. We just looked at the birth of Jesus. We looked at the reason he came and what he said his purpose was. And now we've looked at the death of our Savior. Our Maker, our Creator came to earth, and his purpose, he had to suffer. He had to die. He had to bleed. He had to give up the ghost. He had to succumb to the power of death to overcome death. He had to do this. These things we need to consider. We need to consider this. Just turn over one page, maybe. Chapter 28. I want to read to you another thing to consider. Verse 1 in chapter 28 of Matthew. In the end of the Sabbath, it was begin to draw toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and another Mary to see the sepulchre. Verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen. He hath said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you unto Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. I want to say this right here. We need to consider Jesus' birth, his life, his death, and his rising. We have April coming up right on our heels, and we celebrate Easter, which is the birth of Jesus, the rising of Jesus Christ from the grave. We celebrate that. Why? Because without him rising from the grave, he's just like any other man who came and said he was something and never could do anything about it when he died. If he has not the power of death, he is not my Maker. Jesus Christ overcame death. He rose from the grave, and that makes him different than every other religion you find. Muhammad is still in the grave. He didn't rise up. You can take any religion and you can find a book on and information on, and Joseph Smith never raised himself from the grave. None of those men who claimed that they had something ever overcame the power of death. Jesus Christ did. Why? Because he is God. Amen? I just want to turn one more thing. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. The book of Romans and chapter 10. I want to bring all those things together as far as Jesus' birth, his life, his death, and his rising. Some things we need to consider. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I believe we could say that about our own people. Now we know Paul, former Saul, is speaking about his brethren, the Jews. But I'm telling you, we're fixing to find out this goes for everybody. I'm telling you this morning, my heart's desire is that every person would be saved. And you could say the same thing. Verse 2. For I bear record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Verse 5. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend unto heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall ascend to the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? Verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him should not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over the same Lord over all is rich unto them that call upon him. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I want to say this right here. Jesus Christ came and died for our sins, that we would not be under the oppression of the law of the Old Testament. Jesus Christ did away with the old law, and he made a new covenant. And that covenant is Jesus Christ. Our faith, our righteousness comes by our belief and our accepting of what has been done on the cross of Calvary for us and our sins. By confession, by hearing the gospel or reading the gospel, we believe unto righteousness. That's the whole reason Jesus came. We need His righteousness and not our own. We need to consider Jesus Christ. I'm closing. The third thing we need to consider is ourselves. We need to consider ourselves. You're in the book of Romans. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verse 9. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also in yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey the lust thereof. Verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those are from life from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are of whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or unto obedience, unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which delivered unto you, being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because the infirmity of your flesh. For ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and iniquity, unto iniquity. Even so now, yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. I want to say this right here. We've considered our Maker and our Creator. We've considered this man, Jesus. We need to consider ourselves, right? Who are we serving? Are we serving sin and the pleasures of flesh for a season? Or are we serving God under righteousness? Only you know. Only you know what's in your heart and why you do what you do. Whether it's to be seen of men, to be have eye of purpose and to have the acceptance of people, or if it's because you love God, you love your Maker, and you love Jesus Christ because of what He did for you, and you serve Him because you love Him. You say, well, I don't know. You know who your Master is because it's the one you obey. My kid said this one time. He said this one time. My son went and visited and spent the night over another friend's house. And they said to him, Harry, it's time for bed. Or something. They told him something. And he's like, he ain't fucking me. They're like, oh. Okay. They call me on the phone. Harry said we need to talk to him. I said, okay. Let me talk to Harry. He put Harry on the phone. Harry, they're the boss of you. In fact, they're going to show you they're the boss of you in just a minute. And then when you get home, I'm going to show you they're the boss of you when you get home.
Harry never again decided to tell anybody that they weren't the boss of him.
Now, I don't know why he thought that. He was probably, you know, 8 or 9 years old or something. Let me tell you something. Your Master is the one that you obey. Now, Harry wouldn't tell me or Harry that. He knows that we're his parents. He had to learn a lesson. And the lesson was, whoever tells you what to do, if they're in charge of you, they're the boss of you. You better get to listening real good. Let me tell you what. There's a lot of confusion in the world of people. Am I saved? Am I not saved? I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I know these things, but I can't stop my sin. I can't stop my lust. I can't stop fornicating. I can't stop myself. I have no power. Well, guess what? You aren't the servant of God. You're the servant of sin. Why? Because you submit yourself unto sin. God has broken the power and the chain of sin so you don't have to be the servant or the slave of sin. Now, I'm not telling you that everybody who's a Christian is sinless. I'm not telling you that. But your Master does not dictate to you. You might fall and succumb to some temptation, but He's not your Master. We need to consider. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians and chapter 13. We need to consider ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And verse 5 says this, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Verse 6, but I trust that you shall know that ye are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Verse 8. For we can do nothing against truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Let me tell you something, brethren. You need to examine yourselves, my friends today. You need to examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith.
We know our Creator. We know who He is. We've read the truth of the Scriptures. We know who Jesus Christ is. We know what His purpose was. We know why He was here and what He did and how He rose again. What about us? What about you? What about me? The Bible says, examine yourself. Are you in the faith? Whose servant are you? Start with the book of James, chapter 4. The book of James, in chapter 4, verse 7. I want to give you some truth of God's Word. James 4, 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Let your joy to heaviness. Verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. I want to say this right here. We need to consider ourselves who the servants we are. We need to consider ourselves whether we be in the faith. We need to consider ourselves, have we submitted to God? And have we humbled our hearts before God? A humble and contrite spirit, the Lord will never turn away. I'm closing. We need to consider our Creator. We need to think about that. Is it true? Is the Bible true? Is He our Creator? And if He is, and the answer is yes to that, then we need to consider this man Jesus and what He did. And once we do that, we need to consider ourselves whether we be in the faith. Whether we have heard the gospel, the good news of the gospel, have we accepted it? Have we humbled our hearts before God? And have we submitted ourselves to what He's told us we need to do? Or do we have our own plan? Are we going about to create our own righteousness by our own good works? Or our own plan of salvation? I want to say a few things. There is no other God. We were made for His pleasure. Jesus Christ came to die and made a way for me and you to be saved through His righteousness. How about you? Are you saved? Do you know? Not do you think, not do you hope, but do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know heaven's your home? Can you rest assured in the truth of God's Word here? The faith it takes to believe and understand and get the righteousness of God by your faith, that through His work and His atonement, His death, we can have life. If you don't, you can today. You don't have to wait. You don't have to do any good works. You don't have to do the sacraments. You don't have to go give a bunch of money. There's nothing you have to do other than submit your heart unto the Lord. The Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't do it on my own. I need You. I need Your blood. I need Your death. I need Your resurrection. I need Your righteousness in the place of my own. Humble yourself before your Creator. If you're willing to do that, you can be saved today. You don't have to wait. There's no price to pay. There's no entry fee. It's by faith.
Let's stand for prayer.